Hi there, and welcome to Wild Thing's first bonus episode, an interview with Bob Gimlin. He's one half of the duo that recorded the most famous Bigfoot film ever, the Patterson-Gimlin film. I'm going to let you guess which half he is. Anyway, we've already heard a little bit of his story in episode 3, but Bob had a lot more to say. I sat down with the now 87-year-old at the 50th anniversary celebration of the film. 3 days of lectures, hikes, parties, and glad-handing held in Willow Creek, California, not far from where he and Patterson made history. Bob's voice is fantastic. He also calls me Lori throughout the entire interview. I didn't bother correcting him because, hey, the man's 87. But he started by telling me how he ended up looking for Bigfoot to begin with.
Okay, Roger Patterson and I were pretty good friends. And he was into the Bigfoot thing and kept working on me. And so one day Roger come driving in my driveway with his eyes just, oh, Bob, we got to go to California. Well, what's going on, Roger? And he said, well, if they, on Labor Day weekend, they put a piece of equipment back in there because they want to start building logger roads over there in that Six Rivers National Forest. They came back to work after Labor Day weekend, and there were Sasquatch tracks all around this piece of equipment, three different sizes. And that's what main reason that I went down there, to see these tracks and witness something I own. And we just decided between the two of us that we'd stay a couple weeks and ride and look for more evidence.
So let's back up to that fateful day in 1967. You know, I've heard the story 1,000 times, but I've never heard it from you. Can you tell it again? Are you willing to tell it one more time?
Okay, Lori. On Saturday morning, October 20th, second day after my 36th birthday, we're riding up the creek bed, and Roger, of course, was filming the beautiful fall colors of red and yellow leaves and all of that. And we were kind of happy. It was a sunshiny, warm day, and it was just kind of a pleasant ride. We weren't really looking for anything that day. And we come around, Roger's riding ahead of me a little ways, probably 2 or 3 horse lengths, and I was leading the little pack horse. And we come around a downfall tree. Well, Roger was in front of me, of course, and his horse just went bananas. So Roger trying to get off his horse, he managed to get the camera out of the left side saddlebag. And by then, I could see her too. You know, I see it. I didn't know it was a her. And just stood there, looked at us for a split second, and turned and started walking away. And I was sitting on my horse on the east side of the creek, where it was on the west side of the creek. And Roger had ran across the creek trying to film it. That's what the jerky part of the first footage is. Of course, I'm saying, well, they really do exist. You know, these things really do exist. Cause I see this huge, muscular, hairy-covered thing walking like a human being. And so Roger said, I've got to relocate, Bob. Will you cover me, you know, in case we have something angry coming back at us? You got to protect yourself. So I rode across the creek, bailed off the horse, pulled the rifle out of the scabbard, and I just stood there, hold it. Well, so many people have made the mistake of saying, yeah, Bob pulled a rifle out to shoot the thing. I had no idea. I wasn't going to shoot nothing. And so Roger then was able to film it until it disappeared up a little draw. So that was kind of the whole story of how this all happened.
Did you know it was a Bigfoot immediately? Or did you think, oh, it's a bear or something else? Like, what went through your head?
Well, I knew it wasn't a bear. I could tell. You know, I've hunted bear. I've hunted every kind of creature out there. I mean, in the lower 48. And so, no, I knew it was not a bear. I've seen bears stand up, but they don't turn around and walk away. And so, you know, there was quite an area there, Lori, where it covered in a few seconds, because it wasn't running, but its steps, you know, it was 42 to 48 inch stride on the one that was just barely just walking. So it covered the ground quite rapidly, and you know, it didn't seem to be frightened, or you know, wasn't scared of us, you know.
You must have been kind of excited, because this is what you were out looking for, and to see it like that.
I was extremely excited. If you've ever gone hunting, Lori, for a big bull elk or something that jumps out of the trees and 100 feet from you, all that excitement, you know, I've missed bull elk first shot because, oh man, there it is, what I've been looking for, you know. Well, we were looking, but we never expected to see a real live one there. We wanted to see more evidence, footprints or whatever it took. But it was just like all boom, and it's there it is. You know, I was very excited. Yeah, I was excited when I first saw it. Oh, man, this thing is huge. So then I wanted to follow it. Don't know why. I mean, I want to see it again. But Roger said, no, don't leave me here. Because, see, we were only about 4 miles from where the three different sizes of footprints had been witnessed.
He was a little more nervous.
Well, he was real nervous. Told me later, he said, Bob, I was scared. But he said, I didn't know if the other two was right there on the side of the mountain or on the side of the hills up there, because the area was just, it was great habitat for anything. And so that's what Roger told me later. He said, Bob, I don't want to be left there alone.
So you get the film, you pack it up, you hike back out to civilization, and then the film goes out to the world, people are talking about it, and then you kind of just drop off the radar. What happened?
Well, there was a big reason for that. You know, there was a lot of ridicule going on in my life about the film, and then Roger and his brother-in-law, a guy named Aldi Attlee, I went back to work. Of course, I had to have an income coming in. And so they traveled with the film, showing it, and had a guy traveling with them, saying he was Bob Gimlin. And they would advertise that I would be in with them to show the film in different cities. And I think it was Little Rock, Arkansas, is where my friend, he was going to come and visit with me when he seen the advertisement that I would be there. Well, he paid his money to go in and all that. This guy gets up and says, well, I'm Bob Gimlin. He jumps up and said, you're a damn liar. He said, I know Bob Gimlin. So they had the security throw him out. And so he called me and he says, Bob, you got to get down here. Because I was busy working. I was driving truck then. And he told me why. I said, I can't go down there because they just kind of alienated me out of the whole program, see, Roger and his brother-in-law. And they traveled and made lots of money off the film.
Did you ever consider not going back to work and maybe going out on the road with them? I mean, Roger had to get a fake Bob Gimlin to go on the road. Did they never actually invite you? Were you not invited originally?
No, because they didn't want me to know how much money they were taking in. See, I was a one-third partner. And so it was all documented that I was one-third partner. So I had to sue for my, I went into litigation with them and had to sue for my one-third interest in the film. And they'd sold it to different channels. And they were making lots of money. And I was never a person to be so aggressive that pushed the fact that, hey, they made a lot of money. But I won't go into that, guys. I'll just leave that alone, you know.
You said you got ridicule, too. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, people didn't believe? I mean, you had video. This was 1967. You know, video seems like pretty cold, hard evidence.
Lori, it wasn't a bit like it is today. Nobody believed they existed. So it had to be a man in a maid suit. So I was really catching some static over that. And people would say, hey, Bob, what'd you do with that suit? And so I went through a lot of that for the first 35 years. And I'd have people run up in my driveway in the middle of the night, honking their horn. They'd come in there in the middle of the night, shining their spotlight in the windows, and we want to go Bigfoot hunting with you. get out of my driveway and get out of here. I got to get some sleep. I'm going to work in an hour or two, you know. And so it just got to be really bad. And then my wife worked at a savings and loan institution there in Yakima. And so they'd come in and give her a ration about her husband, the dumb cowboy that was down in California and had some guy in a monkey suit, they'd call it. And so it got pretty tough, you know. I had to tighten up the belt a little bit and keep my hands in my pockets to keep from using them. Even up to this day, I went to trade cars here about, well, last year. And I had that sticker on the back of my car, the Bigfoot sticker. And there's a couple guys standing there, and one of them looked at me and said, "You're Bob Gimlin, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Well, you're the guy that had the guy in a suit down in California, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I'm the guy, but there was no suit on a guy in California in 67. Oh, he said, I know the guy that was in the suit. I said, "Well, bless you. I'm sure glad you do know him, because there was no guy in a suit." You see, so I go through this up to modern time.
You know, with all the people who were doubting and questioning you, did you ever start to doubt yourself? Did you ever think, oh, well, maybe I didn't see what I saw? Did that ever happen? Did that go through your head?
No, never, Lori. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that says, when I see something, I know what's there. And you're not going to change my mind by saying nasty things about me. And so you have fun if you're having fun doing it. I'll go on with my life. You know, I'm happy with what I'm doing. And if you guys think you're really getting to me, you're not even scratching the surface.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, did you ever have a point in your life after this, or a point in your life where you thought, God, I wish I'd just never gone with him, or that we hadn't seen this, or that I'd never told anybody about it? Did you ever sort of have those kinds of feelings?
Well, Lori, that happened a lot. Yes, yes. There was time, like John Green said, "Bob, would you do that again?" I said, "Not no, but hell no, I wouldn't do it again." I said, "What all I've gone through, I've never made any money on it." And I said, "Why would I do something that's slapped me in the face so many times?" And he said, "Well, I understand, Bob." And I said, "Well, I don't know if you do or not." But I said, it was pretty tough for 35 years.
So in 2003, the Russians have this conference, and they come to you, and they want you to be part of it. And now all of a sudden, you're part of a community. What's that been like?
Well, Lori, it's been great. Because, you know, from the time that people look at me and say, "Whoa, man, that cowboy's been bucked off too many times," you know. Now it's a different story. "Bob, we want to meet you. We still would like to just hear a little bit about," well, same thing I'm talking to you kids about, you see. And so I do the best I can. I'm not a speaker of any kind, you know. I just say what happened. And it's just like when I get up and talk now, if I do get up and talk, I say, you know, you people are my reward for what I went through the first 35 years. I'm lucky enough to have grown men say, "Bob, I've been waiting 25, 30 years to see you. My dad took me when I was 8 years old to see that film footage. And by golly, I've just wanted to look you in the eye and say, Bob, is that true?" And I say, "Well, you're darn right it's true. Why would I be here? I'm not trying to deceive anybody."
So this is a question that I promised my producer, Kelsey, that I would ask. You know, can you look me in the eye and tell me that this really happened?
Yes, I can, hon. It's very true. There is Sasquatch out there. And they say, "How many?" I don't know how many. I didn't have a calculator with me, you know. But anyway, I said, "I know there's one."
That was Bob Gimlin talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film and life after Bigfoot. You can find out more at his website, www.bobgimlin.net. And for more about Wild Thing, check out our website, wildthingpodcast.com.